magic mushroom to open the door, and then the other to dump the backpack down with its 9 other siblings. He pulled the door on them and locked the lever tight. He got in the passenger seat. Nagley said, "You okay?" "Never better." "You sure?" "What are you, my mother?" The door came all the way up. Reacher said, "Drive." The NSC ran an emergency protocol whereby the participants were immediately dispersed to reduce the risk of visual identification and consequently the risk of subpoenas. Within 16 hours, Reacher was in Japan. He heard a nuclear recovery company had been sent out to unload the van. They had an old-style vehicle from back in the days when nuclear-tipped missiles would fall off planes and land in fields. Later, he heard White and Vanderbilt had flown direct to Zurich with the messenger. They had drained one account and filled another. The CIA was up $600 million. The Iranian was given a condo in Century City. Within a week, he had a job in the movies. The Saudis were called home to Yemen. After that, there was no further trace of them. Wiley was buried in a potter's field on the shoulder of a German highway with no stone or marker. Reacher saw Sinclair one last time about 2 months later when he was called to Washington to get a medal. She sent a note and asked him to dinner the night before the ceremony at her place, a suburban house in Alexandria. He wore his Marine Corps pants and his black T-shirt from Hamburg, both washed and folded by a Japanese laundry. No jacket, because it was warm. His hair was cut, and he had showered and shaved. She was in a black dress, with diamonds, not pearls. They ate at a table as long as a boat. Candles flickered. The diamonds sparkled. She told him some of the news was good. The bad guys were hurting. Their financial setback was significant. $600 million was a good chunk of change. Hamburg was off the table for air transportation because the two guys had been key. The messenger had been helpful. She had mapped out some structure. They had filled in some blanks. Some of the news was not so good. Wiley had made no will, and so far, he still owned the ranch in Argentina. They couldn't unwind it. There was still a lot they didn't know. They were still running around with their hair on fire. After dinner, they made a half-hearted attempt to clear the dishes, but they ended up stalled close together in the kitchen doorway. He could smell her perfume. He was nervous again. She said,
"Do it like you did before."
He raised his hand and brushed her forehead with his fingertips, and he slid his fingers into her hair. He swept it back and left part behind her ear and part hanging free. It looked good. He took his hand away. She said,
"Now do the other side."
He used his other hand the same way, barely touching her forehead, burying his fingers deep. He left his hand where it ended up, on the back of her neck, which was slender and warm. She put her own hand flat on his chest. She slid it up behind his neck. She pulled down and he pulled up. They kissed. Suddenly, at home again. He found the tiny metal teardrop on the back of her dress. He eased it down between her shoulder blades, past the small of her back. She said,
"Let's go upstairs."
They went to her bedroom, where she climbed on top. She rode him like a cowgirl, but facing him again, hips forward, shoulders back, head up, eyes closed. The diamonds swung and bounced. Her arms were behind her, like the first time, held out away from her body, her wrists bent, her hands open, her palms close to the bed. hovering, skimming an invisible cushion of air, as if she was balancing, which she was, like before. She was balancing on a single point, driving all her weight down through it, rocking back and forth, easing side to side, chasing sensation, and finding it, and losing it, and finding it again all the way to the breathless end. The next morning he got to Belvoir early. The same inside room, the same gilt furniture, and the same bunch of flags. The chief of staff presiding, which was nice. There were 5 awards to be made. The first 4 were Army Commendation Medals for Hooper and Nagley and Orozco and Reacher. Not as handsome as the Legion of Merit, but not the worst thing he had ever seen. It was a bronze hexagon with a sculpted eagle. The ribbon was fresh myrtle green with white pinstripes and white edges, a bronze star equivalent, except not in a war. Take the bauble and keep your mouth shut. The 5th award was a silver star to Major General Wilson T. Helmsworth. Afterward, there was milling around and small talk and shaking of hands. Reacher moved toward the door. No one stopped him. He stepped out to the corridor. No sergeant met him. The rest of the day was his. This is Dick Hill. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Night School, a Jack Reacher novel by Lee Child. Executive Producer, Kelly Gilday. Text copyright, 2016 by Lee Child. Production copyright, 2016, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.